We're going to turn to Luke's Gospel in chapter 15. And immediately some of you will know what we're going to read. I told the story last week. But it's a wonderful story that picks up the theme of forgiveness and what forgiveness means. The story that we know as the story of the lost son or the prodigal son. In fact, in the story, there's not just a lost son, there's perhaps two lost sons and a father, a waiting father. So Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, from verse 11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" Now today, we're reflecting on the theme of your sins are forgiven. It's very interesting, and I'm sure we're aware of it. Look through almost any philosophy in the world that people go to, or religious beliefs, spirituality, and there is almost always some element of forgiveness or some teaching about forgiveness within that philosophy. Came across a couple of really good quotes. "To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you." I quite like that one. And here's one from Gandhi. "The weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is the attribute of the strong." Is that true? As we reflect on forgiveness, of course, we're going to reflect very much on Jesus. What Jesus says about forgiveness is stark and it's clear and it's quite challenging. When we look at forgiveness in counselling situations, perhaps, we're often told that the reason you should forgive is because, as that first quote perhaps indicated, we need to forgive because of what forgiveness does for us. And I'm sure we're all aware, if ever anybody has hurt you, if ever anybody has done anything against you, and you've been in that position of needing to forgive, you know the relief that comes to you when you forgive. And the understanding we glean through life is the benefit of forgiveness for ourselves. If we don't forgive, it's like we're a prisoner and something has locked us away, enchained us. Or perhaps we see forgiveness as being a bit like release from cancer. If we refuse to forgive, then lack of forgiveness is like a cancer that works its way through us, infecting all parts of our spirit. And so in many situations we are told, well, you need to forgive because of what it will do to you. What Jesus clearly advocates is that forgiveness is fundamentally about relationship. Forgiveness is not just about you or me. It's not just about us. Now, I accept forgiveness and forgiving has a very positive effect upon us. But it's not just about us. When we learn about it from Jesus, it is about relationship. Now today, three very quick headings. Forgiveness from God, we'll reflect on forgiveness from others. And then, thirdly, forgiveness for others. So three things: forgiveness from God, forgiveness from others, and forgiveness for others. Forgiveness from God. We begin with sin. Sin, wrongdoing of any kind. If I asked for a quick survey, I'm sure we could come up with a whole variety of different sins that you've committed. Alternatively, we could come up with a whole variety of sins that I've committed that you could tell me, I'm sure, that we've done. Sin requires forgiveness. The reason sin requires forgiveness is because sin diminishes us. Sin has a very negative and detrimental effect upon us. We are created in the image of God to enjoy relationship with God. And sin mars the likeness of God in us. Whenever we do anything wrong, it mars the likeness of God in us. It spoils who we are. And you know, if you're anything like me, it's very easy to do something wrong, to know it's something wrong, but then just pass it off as, it doesn't really matter. You know, nobody noticed. Who cares? It's just a little thing. Do you know, we have this thing of sometimes somebody might tell a lie, an untruth. But what do we often call it? What is a white lie? And we have the gradations of lying. And so, is it wrong or is it not? You know, and immediately we begin to say, oh, it doesn't really matter. It's only a white lie. Whatever that is, I don't know. But sin, whenever we do anything wrong, it mars what God has beautifully and wonderfully placed within us. And so we need forgiveness. We need somebody to come to us and deal with that sin, to forgive the sin and wash it away and say it's all dealt with. So sin mars the likeness of God in us, and sin separates us from God. Doing stuff wrong separates us from God. Now, not only that, but sin is often accompanied by shame. Sin is often accompanied by shame. It's that deep-seated fear that others will see how bad I am. We feel shame when we have done something wrong, but it's not just that we've done something wrong. Shame is about what others will think about us. Shame is about what others will think about us. I don't want you to know what I've done. I don't want you to know how deeply wretched I am. And sin often comes with shame. That deep-seated fear. And right now, you may be identifying within yourself just that almost that sore within you, that pain, that hurt, that shame. If only people knew who I was, they would never speak to me again. When God convicts us of our sin, sins that quite often we have just glossed over for years. And of course, we can quickly come up with a list of bad sins. We can always, this is true when I ask young people to name sins, you know, well, they come up with murder and burglary, you know, and all those kind of things. But sins that we've glossed over for years, like arrogance and pride and greed and selfishness. Things we say, oh, that's just who I am. Well, we haven't loved our enemies. And yet Jesus said, love your enemies. Jesus said, give to everyone who's in need. And we haven't given. When God convicts us of the stuff we have done that we should not have done, and God convicts us of the stuff we haven't done that we should have done, most often things that we have just glossed over for years, that deep conviction, often there is deep shame. Deep shame. We don't want people to realize how awful and wretched we truly are. Shame causes us to hide ourselves away from others. And I say, yeah, I'm a sinner. I'm just the same as everybody else. But shame is deeper even than that. The reality is that God holds forgiveness open towards us. I think it's lovely in the story of the prodigal son. When he returns, it's clear that the father has been looking out for him. And this is an extraordinary part of the story. That the father, clearly a very wealthy and respected man, he's clearly got a big house and servants, quite a lot of wealth. The father is there looking out for his son. And God holds forgiveness open towards us. And all we need to do, just like the son does, is to repent, is to turn back towards him and return home. That's all we need to do, is turn back. And it may be that we need to say, Father, I know I have sinned. I don't feel bad about it, because it's so normal. Selfishness, greed, arrogance, and so on. But I choose to return home because I want to be everything you've made me to be. I want to be everything that I can be. I don't want to settle for second best. I want to be the best that I can be with you. And so I choose to return home, to give up any claim to selfishness and to greed. I don't want to be that person any longer. So just like the son, we choose to return home. And what we discover is that God is truly our father. He runs to meet us and says, son, daughter, you don't need to be that person. I forgive you. And of course, much to the astonishment, I think, of everybody, the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. And forgiveness reminds us that God is our Father, that we truly belong to Him, that we are loved by Him, we are blessed by Him, we're welcomed by Him, we are affirmed by God our Father. And we need forgiveness from God, firstly. Now, we're looking at forgiveness from God. Just a moment, we're going to look at forgiveness from others and then reflect on what it means to forgive others ourselves. But we're going to pause just at this point. And we're going to take a moment just of silence, and we're just going to sit where we are. We're going to be open before God, if we can be. Just ask God to draw close to us. And if there are things we have done that we shouldn't have done, if there are things we haven't done that we should have done, and they are sinful things, I'm going to ask God just to convict us, to put His finger on us, that we might say, I'm a sinner. Help me to return home. So let's just pause right now. Let's just be quiet where we are. Just as we did earlier, let's just open our hearts. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, on us and in us. May God's grace surround us as we seek to return home to where we belong with God as our Father. Amen. Amen. Now I wonder, just as we paused, what came into your mind? The chances are, if there are things you need to confess to God, you got them just like that. Rarely do you have to think very hard when God convicts you of sin, but it will be there immediately. My experience, almost instantaneous. God will bring to your mind the things you need to confess to God. I encourage you to do that. And it may be that you need to respond to this next reflection on forgiveness from others. It may be that you have done something to somebody else. And that requires, because for Jesus, forgiveness is fundamentally about relationships. It may be that you need to sort something out with that person. And we're going to turn to Luke 17. So in our Bibles, just turn over a couple of pages from where we were. Jesus said to his disciples, things that cause people to sin are bound to come, but woe to that person through whom they come. It would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied round his neck than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. So watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. And the next verse is probably appropriate. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. I think they're saying, help. Forgiveness from others. You might be surprised. Why go for forgiveness from others? Why not forgiving first? Well, I think this is probably a really needy thing for us. Forgiveness from others. Perhaps you've realized you've sinned against someone by your actions, by your words, and you've already realized that your sin, your action, we use this word sin, but we just mean, you know, we say it covers a multitude of sins, you know, covers a lot of stuff that we do. Anything that mars our relationship with that person. But a moment ago, sin mars our relationship with God. Sin against somebody else mars our relationship with that person. And you may be aware of somebody you have hurt, somebody who you've been disrespectful towards, somebody you've been proud and arrogant over. somebody else you have diminished. Words you have spoken that you've just spoken simply, freely, and yet they have struck that other person very hard as harsh words. And your relationship has been affected. Now, it might be that you've moved on. And you've thought, well, they've clearly got over it. It's okay. It might be that they've just been brave. And they're still hurting because of what was said or what was done. Now, the key is we need to let God bring conviction to us. We need to let God bring conviction to us. That clear awareness of what you've done. I'm aware that for some people, they seem to live in a world of guilt. And you might know people like this. If anything is wrong, then it is their fault. Even if it's not their fault, it is their fault that it's not their fault. And some people live like that. And so what we need to do when we reflect on something like forgiveness from others, we need to say again to God, we need to pray and be daring in a sense to pray, Lord, if there are things I have done, things I have said that have been wrong and have been against others, would you convict me? Would you convict me? Give me a clear awareness of what I have done. My hasty and harsh words. My insensitivity. My selfishness that's hurt somebody else. We pray that God would bring conviction and bring to me that sense of I have done wrong and I must do something about it. What must you do? What must you do if you are aware that you have done something wrong against somebody else and your relationship is marred? It is affected. Well, what does Jesus say? You must repent. You must repent. Now, I know what we say. It was his fault. It was her fault. If they weren't so daft, I'd never have done it. If they listened to me first time, whatever. You know how easily we blame somebody else. Well, what does Jesus expect of us in relationship? Forgiveness is fundamentally about relationship. What must we do? We must repent. We must turn around and seek a restoration of relationship. There's a story that Jesus tells of two men who go into the temple to pray. One stands very visible, raises his hands to heaven, and basically says, "How good I am." The scripture, some text, some suggest that it should be translated, he prayed to himself. Others say it just means he prayed about himself. I thank you, God, that I'm not like other men. I'm not like this tax collector back here. Thank you that I'm good. And Jesus said the tax collector stood at a distance. He beat his breast and said, have mercy on me, a sinner. When we repent, what does it look like? Well, you know you're repenting when you take full responsibility for what you have done. You do not mention anybody else in what has happened. But you take full responsibility for what you have done. When you blame no one else. When you make no excuses. That's when you know somebody is repentant. As Jesus said, that man stood at a distance. He didn't point to anybody else. He didn't blame anybody else, but he just said, have mercy on me. And if we repent, we take full responsibility for what we've done. We blame nobody else. We make no excuses. And we apologize. And maybe that's the most difficult thing. Because we can do the first three and say, I take responsibility. I'm not going to blame anybody else. I'm not going to make any excuses. But, you know, maybe we can imagine we can just do that ourselves. But where's the relationship going if that's all we do? Sometimes we need to go and apologize and say, I'm sorry. And Jesus said, if your brother comes to you, if sins against you seven times and comes to you and says, I repent, all this I think, forgive them. Forgive them. So forgiveness from others. We need forgiveness from God because everything we do wrong mars our relationship with God. We need forgiveness from others because stuff we do and things we say harms our relationship with them. And God, I'm aware, God will call us to account. Not simply for the things we have done generally and the way we've used our gifts and abilities, the things that we put so much emphasis on so often. But God will call us to account for our relationships, for what we've done to one another, the way that we have loved or not loved one another. And so there is a deep need for us to seek forgiveness from others, to repent, deeply repent, as God convicts us of what we have done wrong. Thirdly, forgiveness for others. Forgiveness for others. This, of course, is when somebody has done something against us. And this quickly comes to mind. You've been wrong. Sin has impacted your relationship with that other person. The first thing I suggest is you have to firstly deal with yourself. Deal with yourself. Sometimes somebody may have done something to you or about you that has deeply hurt you. You cannot escape. How can I possibly forgive because I hurt so much? And if we're to make a journey towards forgiveness, we need to deal firstly with ourselves. And we need to deal with our anger that will be there. With that hurt, with that shame, with the fear, with the desire for revenge. If we're to forgive others, then we need to recognize our own anger, our own hurt, our shame, our fear, and that desire. And we also need to decide that we will make the journey towards forgiveness. Now, what can we say? We can say, well, I'll make the journey if he will. I'll do it if you will. No, don't worry about the other person right now. Deal firstly with yourself. Acknowledge the emotions, the deep emotion, painful things that you hold. And decide that you will make the journey to forgiveness. Perhaps pray, Lord, I want to forgive. As I heard somebody say, you know, when I said, you need to pray, Lord, I want to forgive. They said, I'm not sure I can pray that. Well, pray whatever you feel you can pray. Lord, I want to be able to pray, I want to forgive. But I can't just yet. You get that? I want to be able to pray because I'm not there. But I think even that was an indication of a willingness of heart. I want to make the journey. I want to make this work. Lord, I want to forgive. Lord, I want to love again. And so we need to seek to come to a place where we are willing to forgive. Now, what we also need to be aware of, it may simply be you need to forgive. It may simply be that you need to forgive because lack of forgiveness is eating you up. It may be that the other person has died. The person who hurt you has died or they've moved away and there's no way of making contact. Your lack of forgiveness will eat you up. And it may be you just need to get it sorted. You need to deal gently but firmly with yourself that you might make that journey towards forgiveness. But it may also be that you need to wait for repentance. If your brother or your sister sins against you 7 times and each time comes to you and says, I repent. If they take full responsibility without you accusing them, if they take full responsibility, making no excuses for what they've done, and they say, I got it wrong. If they repent, then hopefully you will be in that position to forgive. And it may be that you need to wait for that person to repent. But it may also be that you're ready to forgive when they do come to you. When they do come to you and apologize and say, I understand now what I've done. The impact of what I said. What do you do in the meantime? Well, pray blessing on the other person. Pray good things. Jesus said, love your enemies. Pray for those who hurt you. Bless them. Pray blessing on them. Live humbly before God and seek to have a gentle heart towards them. Now, I know forgiveness is very complex. And there are many different scenarios that we could discuss that would illustrate the complexity of it. But I think these are some of the fundamentals. Our need of forgiveness from God, our need of forgiveness from others that we might have restored relationship, and our need of forgiveness for others, our willingness to forgive where there is repentance. Luke's gospel is full of this great theme of forgiveness. It's about repairing and restoring relationships. It's about making things back as they should be, as God intended them to be for us. Forgiveness is something we all need to take seriously and embrace for the blessing of our own soul, but the blessing of our relationships one with another as well. And we're going to pause, and then in just a moment, I'm going to pray a blessing over us. So let's just pause for a moment. For a blessing for you, just as you're quiet, you may be aware of your need of forgiveness from God. God may feel very distant to you, and you may simply need to say, Father, forgive my sin. I want to know you as my Father close to me. It may be that we are aware of our need for forgiveness from others. Or we may be very sharply aware of our need to be open to forgive others for what they've done. A blessing. I bless you in the name of the Lord. May his life lift you. May his love fill you. May his free and life-giving forgiveness be yours today. I bless you with freedom. I bless you with joy. I bless you in the name of the Lord. Amen.